From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz-Peña with your state and local news update. Avalanches blocked a highway on the Kenai Peninsula and killed a skier near Matanuska Glacier within the last week. There were also several avalanches reported around Juneau, including a very close call just outside the boundaries of the Eagle Crest ski area. But it still may be risky with high potential for human-triggered avalanches over the next few weeks, even inside the ski area. KTOO's Matt Miller has a story.
Oh, holy f***. Oh.
That's skier Devin Calvin watching another skier trigger an avalanche on Mount Ben Stewart on Douglas Island last Sunday. Calvin recounted his experience on the Coastal Alaska Avalanche Center website and included a video that was also posted to YouTube. He skied down that same path earlier on that sunny day. An hour later, he was watching three other skiers come down when one triggered an avalanche that was estimated at 150 feet wide. It ran for at least 500 feet. Calvin watched the third skier appear to hold his own and not get carried down the slope, but in what is probably an understatement, Calvin ends his report by writing, "I'm a little rattled." The Coastal Alaska Avalanche Center says they saw evidence of at least four different avalanches off of Mount Ben Stewart on Sunday morning. Sea Dogs, or Southeast Alaska Dogs Organized for Ground Search, says they planned on doing training exercises at Eagle Crest on Sunday, but because of what happened, they paused their training and stood by in case they had to quickly get to an avalanche scene and do a real rescue. Tom Matisse, CBJ's urban avalanche forecaster and emergency programs manager, says there was considerable avalanche danger on that day, and it had been that way for several days.
And people get kind of complacent, and then the sun comes out, and it's, today's my day, I'm going to go up there. Considerable danger is not low danger, and it's not no danger. It just means that natural avalanches are less likely.
Human-triggered avalanches are still very likely, and Matisse says most fatalities actually occur at the considerable danger level. Dave Scanlon, Eagle Crest Ski Area General Manager, says their ski patrol does avalanche mitigation every morning before they open to the public, ranging from doing ski cuts to release thin snow layers to dropping explosive charges. But that is only within the ski area. Scanlon says they can't control what anyone does outside of their boundaries.
A lot of the backcountry ski enthusiasts will come up to the parking lot and will leave the parking lot and hike up towards Mount Ben Stewart or Mount Troy, both on neighboring state land.
Scanlon also worries about people coming up when the ski area is closed and the ski patrol hasn't had a chance to go out after a big snowfall.
It's easy to get complacent and not realize the hazards that exist just within the average ski area boundaries. So when people are hiking up the slopes on our closed days, the risk for avalanches is still very much present.
Last weekend, Matisse says avalanche control measures on Gatineau Peak brought down enough to cover Thane Road with snow 15 feet deep and 100 feet wide. There were also small slides at the bottom of the Barrons Avenue avalanche path, but no activity higher up on Mount Juneau.
This is the warmest period we've had in quite some time with the temperatures, as well as having more than an inch of rain each day, or right at an inch of rain each day. So we're seeing a lot of loading during a warm period with significant wind, and we're back to high danger.
The urban avalanche danger is now back down to considerable, but Matisse says the snow layer featuring the deep, persistent slab from last month likely still exists throughout the region. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
In other news, this time last year, Alaska was seeing the first impacts of the pandemic. That included a huge spike in unemployment as the state asked residents to stay home and imposed restrictions on business and travel. Suddenly, many Alaskans were in need of a lot of help, and many organizations worked quickly to administer it. Alaska Public Media's Abby Collins spoke with some of those organizations about what that need looks like now.
Alaska 211 is a hotline run by the United Way of Anchorage. It's a place residents can turn to when they need help finding resources for things like food, housing, health mandates, information about vaccines.
The 211 system is a bellwether, really, for any community condition that's happening.
Sue Brogan is chief operating officer of the local United Way, and she's in charge of the 211 hotline. She says the pandemic caused a dramatic increase in the number of calls to the hotline.
In June of 2019, we had a call volume total for the month of 1,301 calls. In June of 2020, we had 8,435 calls.
While calls have slowed from summer highs, Brogan says she expects pandemic impacts to linger in the months ahead. Kara Durr with the Food Bank of Alaska says the organization saw an average 75% increase in demand for food assistance early on. She says that demand has leveled off some. It ebbs and flows. But Durr says it's remained high and it's not going away.
You know, looking at the last 6 months of 2020 compared with the last 6 months of 2019, Food Bank of Alaska distributed 43% more pounds of food, which is a huge, huge increase for us.
Durr says the food bank expects high demand to stick around.
We're thinking very long term. The need is certainly very elevated right now, but we expect that even as things improve with the pandemic, we're going to see the economic repercussions of this for quite some time.
While thinking ahead, Durr says there's a more immediate concern too. Earlier this year, Alaska's COVID-19 emergency declaration lapsed, and the state has yet to implement a new one. That's put increases in Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits in jeopardy. The state had an April 1st deadline to avoid interrupting SNAP emergency allotments. Durr says the increase in SNAP benefits during the pandemic funds about 2.2 million meals a month for residents in the state of Alaska, separate from the food bank. It amounts to about 1.4 million meals on top of what the food bank distributes monthly.
This is a huge gap that we would be trying to make up, and really it's just not possible.
Many Alaskans are also still in need of help paying their bills. In March, just over 29,000 residents applied for rent and utility relief through the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. That's up from around 8,000 people who applied for an earlier rent and mortgage assistance program. Brian Butcher is the organization's executive director.
It was early in the pandemic when we ran last year's program, and so a lot of people that might have been under more financial distress weren't there yet, whereas now it's been going on for a long period of time. And obviously there's a difference between having lost your job for a month and having lost your job for 9 months or 10 months. The amount of assistance we can give is also different.
The recent program offers up to 12 months of assistance and can cover current or past payments. Brogan with the United Way says she's grateful for the resources that entered the state during the pandemic to help meet the needs of Alaskans.
Everyone's been trying to go above and beyond because the need is still great.
According to the Alaska Department of Labor, January job numbers were down 7.4% from the same month in 2020. That's 23,000 jobs. In Anchorage, I'm Abby Collins.
The Alaska House of Representatives passed a resolution yesterday that urges Congress to allow an exemption for cruise ships to bypass Canada and sail in Alaska this year. Currently, federal law requires foreign-flagged ships to make an international stop between Washington State and Alaska, but Canada has closed its waters to cruise vessels. So the bill is part of a last-ditch effort for coastal communities to get a month or two of cruise ship tourism in 2021. Senator Jesse Keel is among the bill's sponsors.
The bill passing the House was the last serious hurdle before it gets sent off to the federal government.
Now it's up to Alaska's congressional delegation to make it happen. Keel says it's an uphill battle since other states don't have as much to gain as Alaska does, but he's hopeful.
I have to tell you, I've read legislation for a long time. Don Young's bill is one of the cleverest pieces of drafting I have seen in a while. It's really well put together. Very short, very succinct, very elegant. And I'll just hit it again. Very temporary.
Even if Representative Don Young and Senators Murkowski and Sullivan could get an exemption for Alaska, it would still be a Herculean task for cruise ship companies to mobilize. They'd have to comply with strict restrictions from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
There is no chance that right now of a full cruise ship season. The ship has sailed, if you'll pardon the pun. But the hope is that we can get some movement and some precise guidelines on how to meet the CDC requirements out of Washington, D.C., in time for cruise companies to make a commercial decision and bring a month or two of sailings to Alaska waters.
This is KTOO News.